appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening. Trust that the Lord will most of all be with us and bless us in our meeting together. I rejoiced in the song service and the spirit of the singing, and feel that we were truly singing to the Lord and making melody in our heart to our Savior Jesus Christ. We've been blessed to be with your good pastor and enjoyed his fellowship today and yesterday. Brother Sam was up with us last week in Danville, and we thoroughly enjoyed him being with us. Thank the Lord for his visit among us and his encouragement and his preaching that lifted us all up and give us something to chew on and think about to edify us. I want to begin this evening in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's a whole lot in this, and there's no way that we could expound this in the short while tonight that we're gathered together. But it is so rich and so meaningful and positive to God's believing children who understand the significance of the writer of the book of Hebrews and these scriptures that I read in your hearing concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, how that he came into the world, why that he came into the world, and who he came into the world for. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Certainly the Apostle Paul, which I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, is speaking of the ceremonial law and the prefiguring of that which is to come. In the tabernacle worship and the temple worship, they offered these sacrifices that God ordered them to offer, that God designed for them to offer, the goats and the bullocks, and all these offerings were offered And they were offered by the high priest. And they were offered by the priest daily, by the high priest once every year. But all the offerings that had been offered did not take away sin. But they prefigured the one who was coming who would take away sin. I've heard some brethren preach that through these offerings under the ceremonial law, that it rolled them backward or forward or whatever the thought was, but I don't believe it rolled it either way. It just brought the remembrance of sin. It brought the remembrance of sin. Now God would end these sacrifices and these offerings. And the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." Now this is a great mystery. A body hast thou prepared me. The Apostle Paul declares without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. He said, now this is without controversy among us. It's not without controversy in this world. But among believers, there's no controversy among us concerning God manifest in the flesh and it being a great mystery. I don't know really how to explain it, but I believe it because the Bible declares it. The Scripture sets it forth, and that ought to be enough, oughtn't it? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and there was a body that was prepared Him. Jesus speaking unto the Father says, "A body hast thou prepared me." Now, the Bible teaches us, the angel announced unto Joseph exactly how that came about. He says unto Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now there's no question there exactly how this took place. The angel announced it unto Joseph that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. And the angel Gabriel, before this conception takes place by the Holy Ghost, he appears unto Mary. And he tells her first, before he tells or informs Joseph. You see, she's the one that is favored of God. She's the one that is chosen of God out of all the virgins in Israel. And I believe there's more than just Mary that were virgins. But God chose this virgin of the house of David. You know why God chose this virgin? Because He wanted to. Now, she had a particular qualification. She was a virgin and of the house of David. And of the tribe of Judah. God chose Mary. She was highly favored of God. And the angel appears unto her and informs her what is going to take place. "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall sit upon the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Sound like he's going to reign forever, doesn't it? He's going to reign forever over the house of Jacob. And she said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That is, I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. You see, she confesses that I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. And the angel says that the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. The power of the highest is going to envelop thee. And that thing, that holy thing, that thou shalt bring forth shall be called the Son of God. Now that's a mystery. God, the Son of God, who came down from heaven. He came down from heaven. And He came down from heaven in this manner, in this way. And this union took place in the virgin womb of Mary, as she conceived by the Holy Spirit. The divine person, the Son of God, assumed human flesh, a body that was prepared and therefore united to His divine person. Now, He didn't become a person when He came into this world. He was already the divine and excellent second person of the Trinity. But He assumed a new nature, another nature. He assumed human nature without the depravity, without the sin, without the corruption. He assumed a nature, our nature, without the sin. He became us, didn't He? He became His people by way of representation. And therefore, this body that was prepared by God Almighty, by His Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, in that body, He developed and therefore was brought forth into this world. And He grew up. And therefore, the reason that this body was prepared was for an offering. It was for a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was for sin. It was for the sins of His people. And this sacrifice would finally and forever take away sin. It would remove sin forever. It would wipe the slate clean. It would wash all the redeemed family of God through His blood. He would redeem them and reconcile them to God. Burnt offerings and sacrifices couldn't do it. But there was only one that was qualified to do this work and to finish this work, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But He had to come here into this world and assume a nature that was capable of dying. We read in the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He was made a little lower than the angels in that He assumed a nature that was capable of dying. And therefore, He was not inferior to the angels, but He changed positions, you see, from heaven to earth. And it was for the suffering of death that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now somebody will say, you old Baptists, y'all believe in particular redemption. Or you just believe that Jesus died for a certain number. But it says there, every man. Well, I believe that. Every man under consideration. And you go on and you read in that second chapter and you find out who the every man is. It is the brethren, it is the church, it is the children, and it is the sons. That's the every man that He tasted death for. And He'll bring that great host that He died for, the many sons, unto glory. You notice, the many sons will be brought to glory. But how were they purchased, or how were they redeemed, that they might be brought to glory? They were redeemed or purchased by the offering
sprinkling of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hasten on here. The Lord quotes from the 40th division of the Psalms. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now, there's only two positions. Either he did the will of God, or he did not do the will of God. Now, there's only two positions in the world. Either he did it, or he didn't. He did it, didn't he? He did the will of God. What was God's will? We hear a lot about the will of God. I heard a preacher just the other day saying it's God's will that the whole human family be with Him in heaven. And He wants all human beings there with Him. He said, this is God's will. He said, but I'm afraid that God won't have His way. Can you imagine a man claiming to be preaching Christ and declaring the gospel said, I'm afraid that God won't have His way. I heard a man several years ago, I was driving down the road. I'd been preaching somewhere and I forgot where it was. You know, when you get older, you forget things like that. But it was late at night. I heard a man preaching over the radio. And he was talking about the will of God. And he said, sinner, it's God's will. And God is using me tonight to speak to you for you to accept Jesus Christ to become a child of God and be born again so that you can live with God and you won't have to die and go to hell. He said, but I want to tell you something, sinner friend. If you reject what I say right now, you reject the proposition that I've given you, and you reject Jesus Christ, that you've tied God's hands. I knew they believed that, but I had never heard them say that. That you've tied the hands of God. Oh, I'll tell you what. That's blasphemy, I think. I believe that is a sin to accuse the Almighty God of His hands being tied and degrading the death and the value and the preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His holy offering. Jesus said, I come to do Thy will, O God. And in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, He states plainly and distinctly what the will of the Father is. He says, this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is the Father's will. Oh, I've rejoiced in that 1,000 times, and I hope before I leave this world I can rejoice in it 1,000 times more, because I'm going to rejoice one day in glory about this very thing, that He did the will of God. And the will of God, or the will of the Father, was that of all that the Father gave unto Him, that He'd lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I want you to notice the language. He said, I'll lose nothing. I don't believe He's going to lose nothing. He's not going. Not only is He not going to lose any of them, but He's not going to lose any part of them. He's going to lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And that signifies that they'll be raised up once before the last day. You can't raise something up again if it hadn't been raised up prior or before. He'll raise it up again at the last day. I believe He'll raise every one of His people from being dead in sins. He'll raise them up. He'll resurrect them from being dead in sin. He'll reach down into the cemetery of sin and raise His people up. He'll reach down where we are, where we were in sin, and He raises us up. And He does that alone. He didn't have any help doing that. No assistance in doing that. You know, there's some people believe that God elected His people, Christ died for them, but He's got to have the preachers to get them out of sin and to resurrect them or to give them life. Last year I met with a group of preachers. They invited me down to preach to them in Greensboro, North Carolina. And there's about 35 of them. And they call themselves Sovereign Grace. And I said, we're going to find out just how much grace you believe. Well, there's some of them there, they held this position that God elected His people in Christ, and Christ died for them, but that God had to have them to give the sinner or the elect life somewhere that all the elect would hear the gospel and be regenerated or born of God. And that just won't hold water. And I said, if you believe that God elected His people in Christ without preachers, and Christ died for them and redeemed them without preachers, why in the world you believe they got to have preachers to give them life? Don't you? The God of heaven will give them life without preachers. And you know what? They had a discussion about me, and I was right in the middle of it. And some of them didn't like that too much. And some of them did. I had them split about 50-50, and I had them arguing among themselves. But, you know, it's very plain in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ did the will of God. He didn't try to do it. He did it. The will of God was His meat and His drink. You remember in the 4th chapter of John that when the disciples came back from town with meat and the Lord Jesus had met the woman at the well, and you read that they asked Him to eat, and He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they thought somebody had already fed Him. But that's not what He was talking about. He wasn't talking about natural meat. He wasn't talking about natural food. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work. And Jesus, before that, He enters into the Garden of Gethsemane in the 17th chapter of John. He lifts up His eyes to heaven and He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. For Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And He said, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. And He said that I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now how could the Lord say that before that it was actually accomplished? Because it's just as good as done when He said it, because it was sure to be done, that He would finish the work that the Father sent Him to do, and that work was finished when Jesus died upon Calvary and offered Himself to God. Didn't offer Himself to sinners. He offered Himself to God, and therefore by that one offering He perfected forever them that are sanctified or set apart for God's holy use and for God's glory. Those that were elected, they are perfected forever by the one offering of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. It's finished for time to eternity. Eternal redemption was accomplished, and therefore 40 days later He goes home and He sits down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know why He sat down? Because the work of redemption was finished. It was completed, and He'll not have to come and do it over again. because it was perfect. He completed it. It wasn't a halfway job. It was a completed job. When Jesus Christ died upon Calvary and rose from the dead, complementing His death was His resurrection, and He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. But I'll tell you what, His high priestly office is not finished. He's there right now making intercession for us. And thank God that He's there tonight, and that He knows what to distribute unto us, every blessing that we need in the time that we need it, and it's on schedule when He delivers it. All we need to do is approach the throne of grace boldly, because Jesus has passed into the heavens. He's there reigning on the throne. He's sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He's not worried or fretted about having His people with Him are accomplishing eternal life in their lives and imparting that life to them. He's not worried or fretted tonight like all the preachers out here in the world, afraid that He's going to lose some because, you know, they can't reach everybody. Well, I'm thankful that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has His people in His hands. Isn't that what He said? In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. For My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." We're in the hand of Christ, and there's going to be a handful in heaven. And the handful of Christ to be there. But I want you to know, it's not going to be just a little few that have accepted and repented. It's going to be the hand of Christ, full of His people that He died and for and redeemed upon Calvary. We're in the hand of Christ, and we're in the hand of God. I say that's sure salvation, don't you? There's no doubt about that. Well, I know the outcome because God has revealed it in His Word. And I told somebody here not too long ago, I can tell you exactly how many will be in heaven. And they sort of look bug-eyed at me, you know. "You're going to tell me how many is going to be in heaven?" I said, "Yeah, the Bible tells us." I said, "It's very clear how many is going to be there. As many as the Father gave to the Son, and the Son died for, and the Spirit calls, as many as God elected before the foundation of the world and predestinated that they should arrive in glory, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ." That's how many is going to be there. And Jesus purchased them, and He got what He paid for. Thank God that He accomplished the will of the Father. Thank you for your good attention.